Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, millions head to the polls to vote in the UK general election. You'll get plenty of updates throughout the day here. But, you know, the thing that struck me this morning is the difference in how we, the media, cover the elections, the British and the Irish media. Just to give you a flavour, the Daily Star today, election 2024, a fond farewell to those self-entitled clowns, chancers, liars, cheats, sociopaths, better rephrase it to S-bags and bellends, who'll be out of work this time tomorrow after taking us for complete mugs the last 14 years. That's the headline in the Daily Star today. The Daily Express, today is the day of reckoning. The Conservative Party face a punishing pounding at the ballot box. Vote Tory. That's just to give you a little flavour. It goes on and pretty much all of the papers in the UK today. Our own political correspondent, Sean Defoe, is with me on the line. Sean, you might just explain how we cover elections so differently.
Yeah, it's sort of remarkable, isn't it? Yeah. And it comes down, I suppose, really to the traditions. I mean, this is a part and parcel of UK politics down throughout the years. So much to the point that the papers brag about it. There was a famous front page in 1992 on The Sun, where they just ran the words, "It's the Sun what won it," taking credit for backing the Conservative Party and helping them to win the election. Like, very, very different to here, where we try to go down the middle. We try, you know, try to be as unbiased as possible. And indeed, like, I mean, if we were to do it as broadcasters, we'd face very serious consequences. Yeah, there's a legal requirement on us to be fair and impartial, and we have to go to great lengths and bend over backwards to show how much time we gave to each candidate and each viewpoint and all this sort of stuff. But just so utterly different in the UK. I mean, you read out some of them there, but like front page of the Daily Mirror in the UK, "Britain can be better than this. Today you have a chance to make history. Vote for change, vote Labour." No doubt there what they want you to do. Literally printing in massive yellow letters, "Vote Labour" on the front page. The Daily Mail going with something similar, as a big picture of Keir Starmer on the front saying, "Vote Farage," and you get them trying to encourage people not to vote for Farage and vote Tory instead. It's utterly remarkable, and I think it's without a doubt a worse way to do business, because you see it in the UK, you see it in the US as well, and we can see how badly things have been going from a democratic point of view for both those countries, particularly in the last 10 years, because you get a media that is very biased towards one side or the other, and it sort of changes the narrative, changes the debate. I wonder how much of an impact it has now. I mean, in 1992, I think 4 million copies of The Sun sold every day. Now it's something like 600,000. You know, the online media and then more different outlets has really changed things. But it's certainly a massively different way of doing it. And they just come down very sharply on one side or the other. Interestingly, this time, the Rupert Murdoch stable, it's the first time since 2005 that they've backed Labour. And they've called every election, I think, since Margaret Thatcher back in, was it the late 80 election? Right. It was the 1979 election, actually. They've called it right every time.
Yeah, it's funny, just by way of, you know, comparison for people. You probably hear us talk about this the odd time around elections, more recently during the local and European elections. Like, as broadcasters, we can't even mention anything to do with the elections beyond turnout on voting day, Sean, in the radio world for about 24 hours because of the moratorium, which is utterly ridiculous in this day and age, given that everybody can go onto their Instagram and their TikTok and X and say whatever they want. But like, it is quite remarkable when you see media organisations backing parties to the hilt.
Yeah, I mean, the moratorium has become stupid, really, at this stage, because I could talk about it all I like on social media, but then can't say it on air with you, you know, just talking about something. And we saw it with the referendums earlier this year, when a really significant news story broke after the moratorium was in place about the legal advice to the Attorney General. And we couldn't talk about it on air, you know, to say one way or the other whether this was accurate or good or bad or whatever. So it's kind of a bit stupid that way. But the papers have always, even here throughout the moratorium, there's no moratorium on the newspapers. They can say whatever they like, although not nearly to the point that the UK one was. A bit of me wonders, is it, you know, is there an argument to be made that it's somewhat better? Because you always see it, I see it online in my mentions all the time, people are going, "Oh, well, what's his political leanings?" You know, you try to be neutral and impartial when in your reportage, and yet people will still say you support one party or the other, usually that you're against whatever party they're involved in. So is there an argument you could make that by being as bald-faced as they are, it's nearly better? You're not questioning where the journalist is coming from. You know exactly they're backing one side or the other. I tend to think not, though. I tend to think it's better to be down the middle. But that's just me. Absolutely.
I wonder, does it have any sway in the UK? Stay with us, Sean. Lisa's on the line in London. Lisa, have you voted yet?
Yes, I have. I voted this morning.
Did you? And out of curiosity, we've just been talking about some of the headlines in the British press and British papers today. Does it sway people?
I think it really depends on your current stance and the current life that you're living, because as we've seen in the UK, the cost of living is having enormous impact on people across the board. So I think it really comes down to, you know, the true impact of your vote.
So maybe not for you. You mightn't have been directly impacted, but there'll be others who will.
Yeah, and I think if it's going to be something that's going to directly impact, then you're more easily swayed by what you're reading in the paper and maybe the sensationalism that tends to go along with it here in the UK.
Maybe you don't want to say how you voted, and I appreciate that, Lisa, but what do people want, I suppose, from the next government there?
Well, I think, and I'm happy to say that I voted Labour, Andrea. I'm more than happy to tell you that. I think it's time for maybe, with everything that's been going on across Europe, it's an opportunity to show that progressives can win national elections and really maybe set a high standard for what, you know, social democrats can achieve. And it's an opportunity to reshape British politics. We've seen the impact that the Conservative government have had over the last tenure, and I think it's definitely time for a more positive change in a different direction, and I think that's what the people are going to say today, I hope.
Are you involved politically, Lisa, in the UK or in London? I know you're Irish originally, but are you in any way involved politically there, or just an active citizen?
Just an active voter and a bystander. No, I'm not actively involved. I have some friends that are, and I really admire their impact and their willingness to have a core agenda when it comes to the voting. But no, for me, I'm more of a bystander on the side, and just proud and happy that I get to have a vote being Irish here in the UK.
Yeah. What about you, Chris? Chris is with us in Derry. Have you been to the ballot yet?
Yeah, I've been this morning around 10 o'clock. Now, I've got a feeling that there's going to be a very big turnout. Now, it wasn't too big this morning, but I think it will be big. There's sort of a feel that there's an awful lot of talk of movement towards the sort of middle, with people largely been fed up with the last 14 years, and then things like Stormont been down for 3 years with, you know, lack of services and all of these things just not available, and waiting lists, rising bills. Yeah. I think that
all the issues affecting people
have just had enough, really.
So, and for that reason, you think, Chris, there will be a large turnout?
I think there will be a large turnout. Yeah,
people are fed up.
I really do. I think that periods of the last 14 years are almost surreal. You know. Like, for example, you know, like Nigel Farage had 0 from 7 in terms of being elected. The best that he came was 4th. Now, he championed Brexit, yet and all, he's got an increased vote now by highlighting the deficits that Brexit has brought, and nobody's seeing that in plain sight.
What about you, Sheila? Sheila's with us as well. You're also in the UK, originally from Dundalk, though. I believe you're...
That's right.
A little conflicted this time round when it comes to the polls, Sheila.
I'm standing here and I can honestly tell you I don't know how I'm going to vote when I go into the polling station.
Where are you actually?
I'm in Suffolk, in East Anglia.
Okay.
I live in a traditional Conservative area. I'm a traditional Conservative voter. I was a member of the party until I resigned about 6 months ago.
Right.
And I honestly find this the most challenging election to make the right decision for the long term. And I'm also sick of being talked at by politicians. It's as if they don't believe that I understand policy and I can make a decision based on what I know, as opposed to what they're going to say at me, because they don't talk to you. They dictate to us. So I find it really difficult. And I've never been conflicted before, but this is really difficult.
This is a difficult time for you. And do you feel that the opposition, or do you feel that, you know, other parties are talking to you, if the Conservatives are talking at you?
They're all talking at us. You know, it's all a case of if you do this, this will happen. It's all about, you know, don't decide who you're going to vote. Don't remain true to what you believe in, what you believe is strong economic policy, what you believe is the correct social policy. But if you do this, this will happen. And I don't, and you can call it tactical voting, but actually it's not having any respect for people's views and opinions. Mm. And we are the taxpayers and we do fund what goes on in this country.
Do you like how the British media cover elections?
I was actually smiling listening to the earlier bit.
Yeah.
You probably know that there is an independent review going into place to review the BBC's perceived impartiality. And it's being carried out independently by the wonderful Anne Moreton, who is, of course, Irish. So I think I do, of course. I think they are all biased towards the left.
You think everyone's biased?
You have to. Well, that's the way it sounds. You look at them. I'm talking about the mainline, BBC and ITV. You look at Fiona Bruce. You look at the audiences that are chosen for Newsnight. You look at the audiences that are chosen for Question Time. You listen to the bias. It's very hard to think it's balanced. Nice. And I'm not, you know, it is very difficult to believe
I think many would probably disagree with you about that, particularly in relation to the BBC. But Sean, the votes, I suppose we'll have the result tomorrow anyway. I know News Talk Breakfast, Kieran Shane are en route to London as we speak, but have I got Sean? Is Sean there?
Yep.
Yeah, Sean, how are you? Yeah. We'll have the results, of course, tomorrow.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, absolutely. And it looks as though it is going to be a fairly big Labour landslide, doesn't it? It's hard to see around that so-called supermajority potentially being in play. And you can see all the efforts in the last couple of days. Like Rishi Sunak was actually quite good, I thought, in the head-to-head debate he had with Starmer last week. I thought they got the better of him on quite a few issues, including on immigration, and now going at the people who are voting for Nigel Farage and voting for the Reform Party, just trying to shore up as much as they can. But look, it looks as though it's absolutely one-way traffic and that Keir Starmer is going to be the Prime Minister bar some sort of a change. And it's going to be interesting because like a lot of people who will be used to Irish elections where we're waiting 5, 6, 7 days and you're waiting on Castlebar and you're waiting on Donegal, as you well know, for ages to get through all those counts. It's not like that in the UK. It's first past the post and I can't wait to see the images. I always love it. You'll see them on Sky News and BBC later of people literally sprinting with the ballot boxes come the close tonight, trying to be the first constituency across the line to get it declared. And it is only one candidate, first past the post, whoever gets the number of votes. So, it's going to be interesting, fascinating one to watch and to keep this year of elections going.
Yeah, absolutely. Entirely different system. Maybe that's a discussion for another day. Our own political correspondent, Sean Defoe, Sheila, Chris, Lisa, thanks a million for getting in touch. Just a texter on this says, I think our own system, this is with regards to how the media cover elections, the Irish system is much better because my friend in the UK is totally brainwashed by the newspaper that she always reads.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.